We are the choices we make, yes. We're talking about choices today and what that looks like and what that means for each one of us. We are the choices we make. So we're all a result of choices. And we do have to make that choice, like no matter what. We can't just kind of go back and forth. You know, kind of, you see squirrels have difficulty making choices, right? They kind of get in the road and they go like this, and then they get flattened. It's really sad. So before you get flattened, I want to make sure you're making a choice. And so at this point, we're choosing today the Good Shepherd and what that looks like, what that means. I shouldn't make fun because I love our squirrels. We feed our squirrels. They come to my door every morning and they stand and they go like this. Like, okay, where's the peanuts? And so I open the door, put out peanuts, hand them, and they are right there. I mean, they come on a regular basis every morning. I've named them. Yep, we're that kind of people. I know some of you shoot them, and that's the kind of way that you deal with squirrels. However, we feed them, so you'll have them nice and fat by the time they get to your house. we're working on not squirrels today, but on the Good Shepherd. So let's move along. Core 11, as we would talk about today. Let's read that together. You already did it, but this will help reinforce it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we're going through that, we're talking about shepherds and sheep and what they're like. It's interesting that we're compared to sheep all through Scripture and how Jesus really is the good shepherd, as we would talk about. Sheep really are kind of pitiful creatures, and I guess we're kind of pitiful too, because I think we must parallel in so many ways some of the aspects that are a part of it. Scripture says, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. So there's an importance of understanding how God wants to really help us to be able to see that he is that shepherd, the guardian of our souls. Now, shepherds are meant to lead their sheep. They know each of their sheep, and their sheep know the shepherd's voice. A really important part as we're looking at that, trying to understand. That's a great importance of understanding the importance of the shepherd and the sheep. And the sheep really recognize, they do learn to know the shepherd's voice, and they really recognize, they respond to that. And so that's an important part. And so if that teaches us anything, the more you know God's word, the more you can understand what his direction, his pathway, what he's trying to lead us. And that's an important part. So if we recognize that he is our shepherd, he will teach us and lead us as a result of that. Now, that's why he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. So the more you study his word, the more you recognize. And that's something about his spirit placed inside of you, that when you come to Christ, you give your heart to Christ and you're born again, you receive his spirit in you. And that guides you and it leads you. And so when you're headed in a wrong direction, there's going to be something inside of you that's going to go, no, that's not really where you need to be. And you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're not going to feel like you're in the right place. And, you know, that's the Holy Spirit helping to guide you and to teach you as a result. Now, shepherds are meant to protect their sheep. The shepherd has a deep concern and care for his sheep. And so there's an importance of understanding that that shepherd, what his responsibility is. And God is going to do that in each of our lives. He's going to protect us. And that's why he's really working in those circumstances. And that's why he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And so there's an importance of seeing how he wants to work in each of us and to protect us. He gave his very life for us. And so we can understand that whatever we're going to come into, the Holy Spirit is going to protect us and guide us. Now, shepherds are meant to heal their sheep. And so those are three aspects that are talked about Within scripture, and they're talked about in our core 52. If you read your essay this week, you would see that. Sheep can't protect themselves. The sheep don't see or hear very well. This is not physically, it is for them, but it's for you, it's spiritually, and for us. We don't always see or hear what's coming our way. They don't run very fast. Some of you say, yeah, I'm really like a sheep now. And they tend to be sickly. So that means they're going to need a healer. They're going to need someone who's going to intervene in their lives, protect them, and help them, and heal them. And that's exactly what God does for us, and His Spirit works. And Jesus is meant to be able to work in our lives in that way. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living, a life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And so He is meant to be. You know, when John saw Jesus coming, he said what? Here is the Lamb of God. Yes. Immediately he identified him. And so we see not only was he identified in the very beginning as that, but also in Revelation he's once again identified as we see the Lamb who is on the throne who will be our shepherd. And so he is making sure that we continue to see his hand in our life. Also, as Jesus is our shepherd, he wants to lead, protect, and heal. He will provide us with all we need for life. So he wants to lead, protect, and heal. Three primary purposes of the shepherd as he works in our lives, and we're going to see that continued. Scripture says, "Now may the God of peace who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him, all glory to him forever and ever. Amen." So we see a number of things. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm, because I really believe that is like the whole aspect that we're going to see how equipped to understand how he is our good shepherd and how he wants to work in our lives. Now, this is probably, they say, like John 3:16 is one of the most familiar verses in the scripture, probably at least next or even before Psalm 23. Very, very familiar. Often it's like the primary verse, passage that's read at funerals. It's often memorized. There's several things about that would be significant for us. And so I'm breaking it down in verse by verse to help us understand exactly why it's so important for us. And so it starts out, and how about you read the scripture? Okay, let's try that again. You're almost there. Let's do it again. Great. Yes. So God desires a personal relationship with each of us. The Lord is my shepherd. And so we're understanding that that's in a personal relationship with him. For him to be your shepherd, you must see yourself as a sheep. And so I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? And so that means that I'm really dependent on the shepherd. I'm really making sure I'm understanding what that looks like and what that means. Absolutely. God desires that you should have all you need when you seek him first. When it says, I shall not want, I will not be in need. That's what it means. So I'm not going to want for things. As we would see, God desires that you should have all you need when you seek him first. Allowing him to be your shepherd, he wants us to be at peace, as wanting will always leave us empty. And that's the problem. You know, in our world today, we're always wanting for something, right? And we start to confuse ourselves by understanding what is a need and what is a want. And what he really wants to do is supply all our needs. And that's really important. Not all our wants in that sense, but all our needs. And that's why he will give us everything we need. And there's an importance of understanding. So when I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it means I shall not have a need that he doesn't fill. And that's an important part of understanding. He makes... Yeah, there's an importance of understanding how he's leading. God will provide rest when you cast your cares on him. God provides nourishment for our body, mind, and soul. And so there's a great importance of understanding, like many times we don't feel at rest, but we need to come to a point where I'm going like, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. And you know, finding rest is really a whole lot about trust. Because when we're not at rest and we're struggling with things, what's happening? We're not really trusting. And so really finding rest is going to be very much about trusting as we would rest in him. Let's read the next. Interesting. Sheep will not drink when water is moving. They want still water. So it's an important part. And so when we would see this, we will see the importance that he will bring you to a place where you can be refreshed by living water, finding peace and love. And so if you follow as the shepherd is leading, then he's going to lead you to a place where you'll be refreshed. And there's going to be that importance of finding that in your own life and making sure you're understanding how he wants to continue to refresh you and help you to experience that. Next. Yes, he restores my soul. God will provide healing as you remain surrendered, no matter what hurt, pain, or trauma you have faced. He wants to continue to help provide that for you, that kind of healing. And so for that healing to happen, I have to be surrendered. And so when I'm kind of not holding on to something myself, I'm not going to experience God's healing in my life. And so I have to come to that point where I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. I'm trusting you for it. Next. Yes. God wants to guide you in the right paths that you should take. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And so that is, you know, the Holy Spirit that guides you into all truth, and that's what he says. And so he wants to lead you in the pathway you should go. And so we can override that, but if you override that after a while, that's kind of not sensing God's presence, not following it. And after you keep overriding it, it's just going to get darker to you, and it's going to be harder and harder to really discern, is this God's will or not? And that's why you're going to really struggle trying to find out. If you are determined to say, no, I want to be sensitive to God's Spirit, I want to follow his Spirit, I want to follow where he's leading, then you're going to find that he will guide you in those right paths that you need to take. Next. Yes. His purpose is that you would honor him, his name's sake. So if we could remember that everything I'm doing, like people are looking to me to see Jesus, that's what they want. And people really need to see that it makes a difference. They need to see that it works. There's so many people that are like frustrated with life, and you can't tell. You cannot tell from the outside. But on the inside of them, they're struggling. And what they're looking for is somebody that's really working. They're looking to see, does this work? And when we are living for him and his name's sake, we are Christians, and that's Christ-like. That's what we are. Christian, Christ, is in that whole word. So as Christians, we are to live like Christ. And so we would then, as his name would be on us. You know, so many times, you know, I've heard people say like, well, your name is, and whatever your last name is, your surname, they would use that and say, make sure you honor that name because people are going to be looking at that. And sometimes names, you know, carry with it a negative kind of context. Well, in this case, for his name's sake, we need to live like Christ. And that's how it's seen. Read this. Yes, even though times are dark, he promises to lead us. Although difficult territory may be ahead, he is leading. Do you hear that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Like, God is always leading us when we're trusting his Spirit, which means it's not always going to be bright and sunny. There are going to be times he's leading us through dark times. And he's leading us through dark experiences that are happening. And we wonder about those. But we have to remember, if I'm following God, if I'm trusting him, if he's living in me, even when it's dark, he is there. Even when it's dark, he is leading me. And so I've got to trust him no matter what is happening, because he has something greater that he is working out. And so just understanding that helps us to be able to know, you know, he hasn't abandoned us. He's not left us. It is dark, but he's with us. And in fact, he's leading us. And that's when we will grow and experience his work in our lives. You know, you have to, when are the best times that you have grown in your own life? Through those dark times. It's not through the celebration times. I mean, they're great. We all love those, yeah. But it's through those dark times that you learn to trust and you learn to hold on to him, because you don't see the path, but you know he's still with you and he's still guiding you. Yes. And that's why it says, even though times are dark, he promises to lead us. And although difficult territory may be ahead, he is still leading. Let's read this. I will fear no evil. Yes. We never need to be afraid of evil. God is greater. Amen? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Absolutely. And so I have to remember that even though it looks dark or that evil is around me, God in me is greater than what is around the world. And so I've got to make sure I hold on to that, because I have to know God is greater. Reading this, for you are with me. God will always be with us. We are never alone. We are never alone. You know, there's an importance of understanding, no matter what we're going through, we are not alone. No matter what we're feeling or experiencing, we're not alone. We've got to continue to remind ourselves, because sometimes we lose sight of that, and sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we're facing something, we think, boy, I sure do feel alone here. No, God is always with us. We are not alone. And there's a great importance of underlining that, reinforcing that, knowing that whatever we're facing, God is with us. And so I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what you're going through, but I want to remind you that God is with you. I know the first time that I was going through a surgery, and I remember thinking, at this point, nobody else is with me. I'm going in alone. And then I'm reminded, no, I'm not alone. I'm never alone, because God is with me. And that's exactly what we need to make sure we're aware of. We don't have to fear no matter what, because God is with us. Let's read this. Yes, God will protect us with his rod and with discipline. He will prod us and push us with his staff as needed. Oftentimes that rod would, you know, he would carry that and he would reach out and kind of move us. The shepherd would move the sheep to the place where they need to be. He might even push them a little bit and might even have to clunk them a little bit just to say, hey, over here, over here, over here. Sometimes we need that clunking. We start moving in the wrong direction and he has to go, over here, over here. This is where you want to be. This is where you need to be. Sometimes it's discipline. And we always feel like discipline is negative, and it's not. Discipline is what helps us to be able to stay on the road and stay on the pathway. And there's a great importance. And so that shepherd will bring all of that to us. But it's always for our good. It's always for our good. Read this. You Yes, God will not only protect you, but when you encounter opposing forces, he will abundantly provide. So in the presence of enemies, he says he will prepare a table. That means he's going to abundantly provide in the midst of opposing forces. So that's why we need to hold on. That's why we need to continue to trust. No matter what we're going through, no matter what is happening, realize God is working. And so I'm going to hold on. I'm going to trust him. And even in the midst of opposing forces, those who would come against, God is still providing abundantly. God will honor you, bring dignity to you, and show deep respect. That's exactly when they anointed with oil, that's what they were doing. They were bringing honor to that person. They were helping them and showing dignity to them. They were giving a sign of deep respect. That's how God thinks of us. It's so humbling to think that God respects us and that he wants to bring dignity to us and he wants to be able to bring honor to us. That is all part of that process and that journey of how he works in our lives. My cup overflows. Yes. God's abundance is unending. He gives even more than we need. I am loved and cared for beyond my needs or wants. I am loved and cared for beyond my needs or wants. Yes. So he says, your cup overflows. He's going to continue to provide for you. He's going to help us to be able to see that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God promises his blessing to us where we go, wherever we go. His goodness will be with me even if I am in unfamiliar places. Yes, no matter where we are, no matter where we're going, God is there. He's going to walk with us and be with us. A great importance of understanding. And I will live in the house of the Lord. Yes, God wants us to stay in his presence always. He wants us to have a sense of abiding in him. Abide. He says, you know, in John, as he talks about, if you abide in him and he abides in you, that means resting in him, trusting him, relying on him, knowing that he's going to work. And so that's what it is. And then when it says, I will live in his house forever, that's a constant choice on your part. You're making a choice to keep him as your shepherd and to let him lead you. Forever? Yes, always for eternity. Always for eternity. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that he has for us. It's interesting as you look at this psalm and you see that, first of all, he talks about the Lord kind of, he says, the Lord, and then he turns it around and becomes first person. I will. And so it's not long, if you continue to talk about God, that you will start to turn to realize it's ours, it's mine, and you start making that first person. And that's exactly what the psalmist does as you read through this. God calls us like sheep to follow him. And so we see this thing, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. First, we need to just trust our shepherd. You need to trust him. You know, the shepherd knows far better than us what is good for us. He knows where to take us, where to lead us, how to feed us, how to care for us. He knows what we need, what we don't need, and what we have to be able to focus. Two, we need to let him lead. So that means, like, when he's taking us to certain places, I need to trust him. Make the choice to trust him. Make the choice to let him be the leader. And it's not you. We don't like to be out of control. We like to control, right? But he says, no, let me be in control. And so I'm going to make sure I'm put in that place. And then we need to rest in his protection. So I'm just going to have to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to rest in you because I know that you're able to work. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. That's exactly the picture that he wants us to grab hold of and to remember. Let me ask you a question. What do you need most from your great shepherd? So when you think about that, what is the thing that you need most? Jesus wants to be your shepherd. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looked at the crowd, he didn't just see a mob of people. He saw individual faces. He saw needs of each person. When we come to him, he knows our need. And all of us have to have a need. I often have people will say to me, I really want to see my family come to Christ or my friends or somebody that I'm praying for. How do I make that happen? You can't make it happen. God has to intervene in their lives and help them to see a need. None of us will come to Christ if it were not for a need. We have to have a need in our life for us to be able to come to him. That's exactly what each of us have to understand. Some, you need to know you're in a relationship with him. Maybe that's what the need is in your life. And you're thinking, yeah, I really need to know that. Maybe you need to know that he can supply your needs. Maybe you've been struggling and you're wondering, how can this happen? And how can I be able to make sure that I can see that take place? Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you've been through a lot and you just need to find rest. And you need to say, yes, that's what I need in my life. Maybe you need healing. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. It might be in some hurt or trauma or wound that's been a part of your life. And this morning you just need healing. Maybe it's guidance. Maybe you need to say, you know, I do need his guidance in my life. We have to make some decisions and we are going forward and I just really need guidance as I would try to move forward. Maybe it's you need to be aware of his protection. And so you're not sure where this is taking you and where that is, but you're going to say, I don't know what this is, but I need him to protect me. Maybe you need to just feel his presence. And maybe you've just said, you know, I just seem like I'm out here on my own. And I really just need to feel his presence this morning and to know. Maybe it's his blessing. And you're saying, I just want to be close to him. I want to experience his blessing in my life. Whatever it is, whatever the need is, he wants to be that. For he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. That's what we need to do. I'm sure it probably, if one of those eight areas that we talked about, probably covers almost everybody here. So could we just all stand together recognizing I have a need in my life. I have a need that I know God can fill and he can be able to work. I want you to read this, and we're going to read it very slowly. And as we read the Psalm 23 together, I want you to be able to acknowledge if that's where the need is in your life, that you would say, yes, that's what it is. Let's pause after each line. The Lord is my shepherd. We're going to pause after each one. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That psalm has all of those things that we've talked about and how God wants to minister to each one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our good shepherd. Thank you for protecting, for leading, for healing. Thank you for all that you mean to us. Go with us, help us to hold fast to your truth. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless and go with you.